This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, episode 46. You know, looking back on them and thinking about it, they were actually kind of creepy because they were sort of like a cabbage patch melded with an animal. They had like the same arms and legs as so they were sort of like an Island of Dr. Moreau type of toy. So thinking back on them, they were a little creepy.
This is the Single Mom Success Podcast, where we cover all the glorious mess that is life as a single parent and how you can navigate through to become the best version of yourself and how to live the life you desire. Do you want to get weekly email reminders of your awesomeness? Head on over to thesinglemomblog.com to sign up today. Now, let's get started.
Hey guys, welcome to today's Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you are doing absolutely wonderful today. So we are in the beginning weeks of December, and as I'm recording this, Christmas is, there's like 19 shopping days until Christmas. But that brought up the topic of today's podcast because it's something that I've seen on my news feed and social media. I've seen blog posts about it. I've had family members and friends talk to me about it. I've heard it in passing. I've heard it at stores. And so I thought it would be a good topic to talk about. And it is this madness of, what are they called? Hatchimals, right? Hatchimals, if you're not familiar with what they are these, they're these little toys. I think they look like little penguins, and I think there's a dinosaur maybe. I can't remember all the different, there's like four or five different kinds. And they come in an egg. And in the egg, you can see their little eyes glow, and like their nose, like their little beaks will tap on the egg or whatever. And then I guess you're supposed to take care of the egg until it's ready to hatch. And when it's ready to hatch, its eyes turn colors or something. And then it'll actually like peck out of the egg and hatch itself out. Which I'm sort of two minds of. I'm sort of like, wow, that's really cool. And the other is, wow, that's kind of creepy. And I'm sort of split and torn between the two because it's really cool technology, but it's also like one step closer to weird, strange robots, you know, taking over the world type of thing. No, I don't think that that's, well, I guess I can't say it's not possible. Anything's possible. We elected Donald Trump as president, right? So anything is possible. So the thing is with this toy, though, that it has become like the craze this year. And every so often, Christmas will roll around and there is this, that one toy that becomes the toy that everybody has to get, right? And it sort of happens in spurts. I don't really remember anything last year being that, like, people really wanting a specific toy. I don't remember it for the last couple of years. But it could also be that I just wasn't paying attention because I don't, and this one just happens to be kind of in my face right now. So it does bring to mind, though, the time when I was a kid, and the craze was Cabbage Patch Dolls, right? And I totally just aged myself, and I know that, and I'm okay with it. So Cabbage Patch Dolls were the thing, and people were going crazy for them. They were standing in line for them. They were getting in fights for them. They were traveling to stores all over the place looking for them, right? And they wanted Cabbage Patch Dolls. And I remember as a kid that I really wanted one. However, I was super spoiled because my father, at the time, worked at a toy store. So I actually didn't have to worry about getting a Cabbage Patch doll because I actually got, I think, like three. And my dad, so my dad, because he worked at the toy store, hooked me up, right? And I don't know if he was supposed to at the time. I'm not certain, but he was the manager, so he kind of got to do what he wanted, I thought. but anyway, so that was the thing, right? That was like the rage. Everybody wanted toys or Cabbage Patch dolls. That's what they wanted. All the Cabbage Patch dolls everywhere. And they couldn't be found anywhere. The second they hit the shelves, they were gone, right? That was the thing. But I never had that problem because, you know, my dad gave me the hookup. So I remember that I got a couple of Cabbage Patch dolls and I got a Kusa. Right? And you may or may not know what Kusas are, depending on how old you are. So back in the day when Cabbage Patch Kids were newer and really popular, they were the pets. They were the pets of the Cabbage Patch Kids. But, you know, looking back on them and thinking about it, they were actually kind of creepy because they were sort of like a Cabbage Patch melded with an animal. They had like the same arms and legs as, so they were sort of like an Island of Dr. Moreau type of toy. So thinking back on them, they were a little creepy, but I remember them and thinking that they were super cool. And I was one of the few kids that I knew back then that had one because, again, I got the hookup from my dad, which was really cool. So, and I wish I still had that Kusa, like, in its original packaging. When I was a kid, of course, I played with it. Didn't think about the value, obviously, because we rarely do. Like, kids now do. They think about, wow, if I save this and I keep it in the package, I can sell it later for $500. Like, kids think like that now. Back then, we didn't care. We just played with it. Took it out in the dirt. I think I threw it up in a tree at one point when I was a kid. Like, I didn't care. Thinking about it now, if I'd have held on to it and kept it in its original packaging, it might actually be worth some money. But I digress. So that was that thing. And then I remember several years later when I was a teenager, and I think it might have been when I was just out of high school or still in high school or maybe after, I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was the Tickle Me Elmo, right? The Tickle Me Elmo became this big, huge thing. If you tickled him, he giggled like crazy and kicked his arms and legs, and it was like, you know, he became the toy that everybody had to have around Christmas time. And again, we went through the whole, stores were selling out of them, people couldn't find them, and it was ridiculous, right? So now it's these Hatchimals. And while very cool, I think they are very cool toys, thankfully, my child has not shown a humongous interest in them. I think she has reached that age where she's sort of like, yeah, it's cool, but once it hatches, it's not as cool anymore for me, so I'm okay with not getting one. So I'm really happy about that, because here's the thing. You can't find these things anywhere. They're sold out, except on eBay. People, you know, and if I had been smart, because I saw them on the shelves, they had them here. I saw a bunch of them in Target, right? And had I thought about it at the time, I was looking, I'm like, huh, Hatchimals, what are those things? And that's when my daughter kind of explained to me what they are. Didn't realize how crazy people were going to go for these. Had I thought of that, I would have bought like 12 of them. They're $70 each normally, okay? On eBay, these things are selling for like $150 to $200, $300. It is ridiculous. And people are paying that. It's insane to me. I figure I'm like, if I'm going to pay $200 for a toy for you, it better be able to like last you. It better be something that you love and cherish and hold on to until you have your own children. That's how I feel about that. If you're going to, for a toy, right? If it's like a computer or a gaming system or a television, something that we're going to get an extended amount of use out of, no problem. I have no problem with that. I have no problem paying that kind of money for something of that effect. But for a toy that you are probably going to lose interest in 3 months, if that, I'm not paying that kind of money for it. I'm not. And I don't understand the parents that do. Now, if you are one of those parents, I would love to hear your side of this, because I'm the total opposite. So it's really hard for me to understand that mentality. So I would really actually encourage and like to hear your side of why you would want to spend that kind of money on a toy, for your child. And that's not to say that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just not that person. And I'm going to explain why I am not that person and how I feel about this. And again, it's not to necessarily bash those who are willing to pay that kind of money for a toy for their child. But I'm not. And here's the reason. I think it's okay for my child to be disappointed. I think it's okay for my child to want something and not get it. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. There's a lot of times. Here's the thing. My kids are in that sort of in between. Okay. There are many children who are less fortunate than my children. And there are many children who are more fortunate than my children. My children are not wanting for anything. They have clothing. They have a home over their head. They have running water that they can actually drink and bathe in, unlike some children in our country. They have a place to live, unlike some children in our country. They have food on the table every night, unlike some children in our country. So they are definitely better off than some, and they are not as well off as others. They do not get everything their hearts desire. They are told that they do need to wait. They are told many times, unfortunately, we don't have the money for that right now. Or even if we do have the money, I also will tell them, you know what? Yes, we can get that for you, but I'm not going to, because I feel that it's a waste of my money. And so I'm pretty real when it comes to my kids in that aspect. I want them to understand the value of things. I want them to understand that they don't live in a world where they are guaranteed everything their little hearts desire. I think that it's very important for my children to learn that hard lesson now so that they're not bitterly disappointed and shell-shocked when they become older and they become an adult and go, oh my God, you mean I have to pay rent and bills and I have to figure out how to make a budget work and I can't just go out and spend all my money on crap that I don't need and then have to worry about where my bills are going to come from? Like, I don't want them to grow up with that mentality. I don't want them to think that they deserve everything simply because, right? I don't want that. That's not the life that I want to provide my children. I want them to believe that they need to work hard and earn the money that they get. And when they do earn that money, yes, it is up to them what to do with it. But there is a responsibility that comes with having money. So for example, my son Gage, who, you know, does have developmental delays and he really struggles with the concept of money. He's just now understanding that, you know, his $10 a week allowance doesn't really stretch that far when he wants to spend it on all the stuff he wants. He likes to, you know, because now he's 16 and, you know, but developmentally he's younger. So we're working on responsibility and his ability to go places on his own and come back, you know, spend his money how he wants and come back, but within staying in the guidelines and the rules that we have of our house, which is, you know, if my son had his way, he'd take his entire $10 and buy, you know, a couple of 12 packs of soda and he'd chug them all within a couple of days. I try and limit how much soda they have. If they are going to get soda, they're not allowed to have more than two a day. If that at all. But because he is a teenager, because he does have his own money, he does have limitations. I don't want him just going out and, you know, that's been something that we've talked about. And that's just a rule in the house. And of course it's, you know, disintegrated into arguments. Well, when I'm older and I make my own money, then I can do whatever I want. That is true. When you become an adult, you will no longer have to live with the two soda rule of my house. You will be able to do as much as you like. However, it's not healthy for you. And I want you to understand that. It's not that I'm telling you that because it's mean or I'm trying to be mean. It's not healthy for you to drink a ton of soda, period. But when you are an adult, yes, you will be allowed to do all of that, but you also will have responsibilities. And right now, that's what we're struggling with, is the responsibility of, I have my money, I have limitations, I have, you know, I can only spend what I have. And that's a really hard thing for him to learn. And he is learning very quickly that $10 doesn't stretch very far, right? If you're going to buy soda and junk food, right? And if you don't save that money, you can't buy the big things that you want. And he has a really hard time with the saving. If I want the $100 pair of sunglasses, then I have to save my money. Or I have to wait until it's my birthday or Christmas, because that's the only way I'm getting those. And I may not even get them then. You know, last year, I don't remember if I did a podcast last year where I mentioned this, but my son, I asked him what he wanted for Christmas. He's like, oh, you know, I only want like, you know, three or four pair of Ray-Bans, Mom. And I laughed so hard. And I was like, only three or four. And he's like, yeah, that's not a lot. I'm like, no, quantity, it's not a lot. Three or four pair of sunglasses is not a lot of presents. However, the sunglasses that you want are $180 to $200 a piece. So you're talking about me spending $600 to $800 just on your Christmas. And he goes, is that a problem? Yeah, honey, that's kind of a problem. I'm like, you want me to spend my entire holiday budget on your sunglasses? That means nobody else gets presents at all. And he's like, oh, okay, well, you know, luckily I was able to find some pretty good deals on sort of Ray-Bans or knockoffs on eBay, but, so he was able to get like, you know, two pair, but at the same time, I'm, you know, also made it very clear to him, you do understand that now that you guys are older, the things that you want are more expensive, and therefore I can't get you as much. So when you want, you know, $70 video games and $100 sunglasses, you may only get two or three presents, three or four presents, and that's it, right? Like, you're not getting, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And they do understand that. And so while I do, I get, you know, that, you know, kind of the joke there that, you know, I spent $100 on a pair of sunglasses, but I won't spend it on a toy. My son's, I look at it case by case, right? So for example, again, if it was something that I felt my daughter would get an extensive amount of use out of, I wouldn't necessarily have a problem paying $100 or so for this Hatchimal thing. But I know she won't, and she knows she won't. And that's one of the reasons, I mean, I kind of took those factors in. My son has an obsession with sunglasses. He collects them. It's not just that he wanted them because they looked cool. I mean, that's why he wanted them. But he collects them and hangs on to them and is religious in his, like, maintenance of this collection of sunglasses. So while I did know that I was spending more money on his pair of sunglasses than I would ever spend on a pair of my own, like, I would never, that I can think of, spend that kind of money on a pair of sunglasses. A, because I just know karmically and just with my history and just the way that the universe works, the minute I spent that kind of money on a pair of sunglasses, I would ultimately drop them and step on them or completely lose them, right? Give me a $20 pair of sunglasses and I will hang on to them until they fall apart, right? But I just know cosmically, the second I spent that kind of money on a pair of sunglasses, that is when I would lose them, break them, sit on them, whatever. And, you know, as opposed to the $20 pair that if I bust them, break them, or lose them, I don't care if I bust them, break them, or lose them, other than I like them and now I have to go buy another pair. But so I knew that spending that kind of money on sunglasses for my son would not be a waste because, again, he adores his sunglasses. They are so important to him. They are his one obsession right now. And that's pretty common with a brain injury, is the obsessive, having that kind of obsessive compulsive disorder, I guess, OCD, but not to the point of, well, I guess for some it might be. My son does not have the everything has to be in its place type of thing, except his sunglasses. And it was like this his whole life. You know, he had dinosaurs. He used to have dinosaurs were his obsession. We have a bin full of dinosaurs that I think I can finally get rid of now because he hasn't come back around to the dinosaur obsession in a couple of years. But I always hung on to him because he would sort of circle back around and I didn't want to have to purchase them all again. But this is a boy who had five of the same dollar. There used to be a bin in Walmart where it had like a bunch of dinosaurs and you could buy them for a dollar. That was his thing. We'd go to Walmart, he'd get a dollar dinosaur. Had it for a long time. But he had the same exact T-Rex, but a new one every time we went for a while. And I was like, honey, you already have the T-Rex. I know it's different. This child could spot the difference in every single one of those T-Rexes. He'd ask me, Mom, can you bring my T-Rex when you pick me up from school? Sure, I can do that. I would bring the T-Rex, and he's like, this is the wrong one. I'm like, they all look the same. He goes, no, it's not. This one has this little spot here or this, and this child could identify those differences. So when he has an obsession, for example, with his sunglasses, something that he collects, that he obsesses over, it's like a religious experience for him. He will, you know, if one little tiny thing is wrong, if they're out of place or whatever, so at least I know it has a value for him, and it will continue to have a value for him for an extended period of time. So I didn't mind spending that kind of money on sunglasses. Plus, they're functional, and he will use them, and he will use them over and over and over again, and I'm not too terribly worried about him losing them, as, again, he is very religious on hanging on to them and keeping track of them. That's the difference, right? But this is what I don't understand. You've got the parents who will move heaven and earth for a toy and spend an obscene amount of money to buy them on eBay for something that their child is going to lose interest in probably pretty quickly. Now, again, maybe their child is like my son. Maybe their child will have an obsession with this thing and it will earn its money within a couple of months. Maybe it will. For me, my child, it won't. So I guess that does kind of play a role. You know, maybe your child, if you're one of the parents who is desperately looking for a Hatchimal and you're willing to pay that kind of money for a toy, maybe you do have a child like my son who will revere this toy, right? And it will be the be-all, end-all of their existence for, you know, a period of time. And if that's the case, then, you know, blowing your budget for their toy or their Christmas on that one toy, you know, is worth it. When you do that, do you also tell them, hey, because, you know, we spent this kind of money on your toy, you're not going to get as much, right? Do they understand that? Do you have that conversation with them? And I think that this is so important to me. And maybe to a lot of parents too, because there are so many kids right now out there who were not raised understanding the value of money. They were not raised understanding the concept of money, being smart about money, how to save money, how to spend money, you know, any of that. You know, there's a lot of kids in society now. I'll give you an example. When I went to high school, when I finally got my driver's license, in order to get my driver's license, I was told that if I wanted to drive, I had to get a job so that I could afford to pay for my own insurance. That was the one prerequisite that I was going to have to get my license. And I thought, okay, cool. And I went out and I got a job like that. I mean, right away, I was like, yep, I want to drive. It's important to me. I went and got a job. First job ever was at a pet store. Best job ever. Right? I got paid to play with puppy dogs and kitty cats and lizards and pets and animals and all the stuff that I love. That was my job. It was an awesome job. I loved it. If I could have done it forever and made enough to sustain myself, I would have, but I couldn't. But it was a really good job. I loved it. So I did, and it was important to me. And my first car was my dad's old piece of crap van. It was a rear wheel drive Toyota cargo van that I drove in Colorado, mind you. This thing, it wouldn't do 40 going up a hill. It was a 4-cylinder engine, rear wheel drive. And in Colorado in the snow, if I was going up a hill and there was a light at the top of the hill and it turned red, I was screwed. I would either have to turn or I got stuck. Those were my choices. So, like, it was not the best Colorado snow vehicle, but it was mine. And when I turned 18, if I wanted to take that vehicle with me, I had to pay my father for the vehicle. And, I mean, I only had to pay him $100 a month, so it wasn't like it was ridiculous, but it was still an important lesson. I learned how to be responsible because of that, right? However, there were kids that I went to school with that when they turned 16, right, their parents just gave them a car. And while it's a great gesture, and I can totally understand now as a parent how you would love to be able to just give your kid a car, especially if you were the kind of person who you were raised and you struggled and you had to work really hard and you never were able to get a car, and you, when you got older and got that job that gave you that money that afforded you that lifestyle, where when you had kids, you were like, I want to be able to give my kid everything I never had. I totally get that mentality. The problem is that it sort of defeats their own purpose. You sort of set them up to fail if you don't give them that information of, this is how money is important. This is why money is important. This is what money is used for. Here are some basic understandings of the way the world works. Here's a basic understanding of how to make a budget. Here's how to stick to that budget. Here's how to save for the things that you want. Oh, you can't afford to buy that really bright, shiny toy that you really love because you haven't saved your allowance? Well, that's unfortunate. Either you have to wait until Christmas and somebody gives it to you and you still may not get it, or you need to save your money and buy it yourself. Or you need to work more or do more around the house or get a side job raking leaves for the neighbors to make enough money to get that yourself, right? Not teaching your children that, you're doing them a disservice, because they are not, unless you plan on giving them money for the rest of their lives, they're not going to have it handed to them forever. So many kids, like I watched a video the other day of college students who were actually talking about how they felt like they were ill-prepared to be released into the world, right? Through high school and from their families, they had no idea how to take care of themselves once they turned 18 and became adults and went to college, right? And granted, now that they're in college, they don't necessarily have to worry about paying for housing if their families are taking care of it. But, you know, they're talking about, I have no idea how to cook food for myself. I have no idea how to make a meal other than to put something in the microwave. I don't know how to do my own laundry. I don't know how to create a budget. I don't know how to sew a button onto a shirt. I don't know, like, just basic skills that are actually kind of important, you know. And granted, you know, a lot of people will say, well, yeah, but now we live in a day and age where you could just hire somebody to do that, or you could do this or do that. But yeah, but you're not teaching them how to be self-sufficient. You are then, in essence, making them dependent upon someone else's services, which they have to pay for. So again, it goes back to the being responsible for money. So if they are on a limited budget and they don't know how to cook their own foods, that means they're going to spend their money on takeout. They're going to spend their money on somebody cooking for them. They're going to spend their money on a tailor to sew on a button, or rather just throw something away that's still perfectly usable and go buy a new shirt, right? You're not teaching them responsible money management. Now, I'm not the best person in the world at that. I still struggle. I still have problems. I still, you know, don't always manage my budget in the best fashion. I'm human, right? We all make mistakes. We all go off budget and go, oh, I just blew my budget on my clothing allowance on that pair of shoes that I just loved, right? Like, I don't do that because I don't spend a lot of money on shoes, but you see what I'm saying? Oh, I just, you know, I blew my budget on that brand new cell phone that I technically didn't need, but was really, really cool. Or I bought that new computer, and I spent this much on a computer when I really should have only spent this much, but the other one had so many cool features and it was so cool. Like, I do that. I buy geeky stuff. I'm the person who would blow my budget on a brand new washer and dryer, front loading washer and dryer, because I really want a new washer and dryer. I'm that person. So we all have those moments. We all have those moments where we're human. We make mistakes. We do stuff, you know, against our own best interest. It happens a lot. But again, we're doing our children a disservice by not, you know, teaching them the value. So I thought it was really cool in one aspect when my daughter was talking about the Hatchimal. And I was like, wow, I'm like, those are kind of cool. Is that something that you would want for Christmas? She goes, you know, I kind of would, but I also know that I would really kind of lose interest in it after it hatched, and so it wouldn't really be worth it. I'd really rather you get me $70 worth of Shopkins, which is another thing that I totally don't understand, but she loves them, and she still plays with them. And she wants to play with them and collect them, and she enjoys opening them. She watches videos of people opening them. I don't understand the obsession, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, $70 worth of Shopkins, which is a truckload of Shopkins, by the way, because they're only like $4 a thing, and she gets like two or three in a little package, right? I can get a hell of a lot more bang for my buck out of Shopkins than I can out of a Hatchimal, especially now that they're like $100 and something if I want one. So I'm also about teaching my kids that. What is the best value that you can get for your dollar? Is it important for you to... And that's the other thing. Going back to the splurging, right? I paid a lot more money for my computer than I maybe needed to, because it's a really cool touchscreen Lenovo computer that I can actually lay down flat and use on the table. It does some pretty cool crap, right? I don't really need that, but it's cool, and that's my one splurge, right? So I could have gotten a $500 computer, which would have gotten me by just as well, instead of the $900 computer that I bought. However, doing what I do, it's nice to have the large monitor. I like having the touchscreen. Being able to lay it flat is really cool for me, because then I can stand and still do my work. And I do a lot of mind mapping and building out marketing sequences and things like that. So it's a really cool computer. And I've had it for 3 years now, so I have gotten a lot of value, and it's still going strong, right? So I have a lot of value for that kind of money that I spent. So again, bang for your buck, right? If you're going to pay that kind of money, and that's one of the things I'm teaching my kids, if you're going to pay that kind of money, is it something that's going to last you? Is it something that you're going to be interested in the long term? Or is it going to have a really good resale value? So for example, if you don't want this toy in 3 months, will they still be as popular as they are now? And can you sell it, donate it, give it away, give another child joy from getting it, right? Are you going to have that? Is it going to have that long-term value for you, or the resale value? The thing with the Hatchimals is once they hatch, they're not as cool anymore. I mean, they still kind of are, but the whole big deal about having one is the hatching part, right? So if you have a Hatchimal and it's already hatched, is it really still worth it? And is it still going to be interesting to you in the long run? Right? Are you still going to be as interested in this toy once it hatches as you were waiting for it to hatch? Like, the anticipation of it coming out of its shell is what's really the cool part about this toy. So once that happens, are you still going to be interested in it? And the fact that my daughter can sit back and acknowledge and go, you know, I know that in a couple of months, I'm not going to be as interested in this. Whereas my Shopkins, I'm still going to play with them. I'm going to train them with my friends. You know, I'm still going to have them as a collection. They're still going to be important to me for a while. And then when they're not anymore, I know that I can give them away to my friends or sell them or whatever I want to do with them, right? And that's cool. So I like that she has that mentality when it comes to stuff like that. And I think that that's really important to teach our kids. I think in this day and age, more kids are going into the workforce not having a freaking clue what they're doing than they used to be, right? It's more, you know, it's just, for example, my son, when we started talking about having a job and getting a job, his thought was, well, I really wasn't planning on doing that until I was like 25. And I was like, really? You, and pray tell, how do you think you were going to live your life up until the point of 25? And again, this goes back to the fact that my son does have a brain injury, and so developmentally he is a lot younger in some areas. His response was, well, I'm going to be a YouTube star, Mom, and I'm going to make money like they do. Well, that's all well and good, son, if you want to be a YouTube star, but you do understand that not everybody makes it as a YouTube star. And those people that have made it as YouTube stars and have made millions, I guarantee you, they had other jobs to help pay the bills up until that YouTube career kicked off, right? They were doing something to bring money in. I promise you, that wasn't just being a YouTube star. So, you know, I want to encourage your desire and your dream and what you want to do, but you also have to figure out where you're going to eat, right? So all of your, you know, there's a lot of musicians that you love that are very famous musicians, and actors that you love that are famous actors, that they waited tables while they were waiting for their big break. They waited tables at night and auditioned during the day. They worked during the day and waited tables, or were servers or baristas or cleaning ladies or whatever they did. And then at night they played open mic gigs, right? So you have to understand that, you know, there's a certain sense of responsibility. And it's a little scary to me that there are still so many people out there that they do have that mentality because they're not being explained. And that money is this sort of vague concept, right? It's just, it's always just been there, right? Something that they wanted, they just asked and it was there. Something that they wanted, they whined and they got it, right? And that's really scary to me. So, you know, and kind of going back to what I was talking about in high school, where there was kids that just, they had cars just given to them. And while that's great, there were those kids who, the car was given to them, but they had expectations they had to meet, and they took care of it, and it was very important to them, and they understood how, they understood the value of what they were getting, right? And so they had that. They got the car, but they understood how amazing it was that they got that car, and how lucky they were that they got that car. And then there were the other kids who got the car, took advantage of it, and just the fact that they got it was like, oh, it was great, it wasn't what I wanted, and I'm so pissed off that I didn't get the car I wanted. And 2 weeks later they trashed and totaled their car and were like, oh, whatever, I didn't like it anyway. And then a week later they got a whole nother new car, right? That is not acceptable to me. And my children, I hope, will never have that mentality, because if they do, I'll want to smack my own kids. Because those were the kids in high school I wanted to smack. I'm like, you don't understand how lucky you are. I have the same problem with my brothers. You know, not that they don't understand how lucky they are, but to an extent they don't. Right? They really don't. My younger brother, so, and I'll try and make this quick because this, I don't want to make this podcast too terribly long, but I was an only child until I was 20. My youngest brother is a year and a half older than my boys, right? So it's kind of a weird dynamic in my family. So my, one of my brothers, the older of the two, he is in college, right? And he's going to Virginia Tech and he's doing amazing. But they've always sort of had it, you know, ever since they were little, they've gone on cruises every year. They, you know, my parents helped him get a car, my brother, when he was old enough to drive. And I think that my parents, they did instill an understanding of the value of what they were getting. But at the same time, I still look at my brothers half the time. And I kind of see, like, my brother, when we went out to visit, when he picked us up or he drove us to go get the rental car, he was kind of complaining about the car. He was like, I was like, oh, it's a great car. And, you know, it's a good first car. And he's like, yeah, but there's this and it's that and this and that and blah, blah. And he was sort of complaining. And I got kind of upset and annoyed with him. And I looked at him and I said, do you realize how lucky you are that you were, that this car was bought for you, right? Like my car, my first car was a piece of crap. You shouldn't be getting an amazing fancy schmancy car. You don't get to get an Audi because, you know, like your parents have money. You shouldn't. You should have kind of a beater car so that you understand the responsibility. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, as a parent, I don't want to pay for a $50,000 car to and give it to a kid who just started driving, right? No. That's not happening. No. Right? So, you know, I got frustrated. I was like, you know, I told him, I was like, you need to understand how lucky you are that you were able to even get this car, right? There are kids who don't get cars. There are kids that still, even though they have a license, still have to borrow their parents' cars. They don't get their own car. You know, they're driving around in a minivan. It's not cool. It's not sexy. It's a vehicle, right? So there's a lot of times when, you know, and my younger brother, he does the same. He's like, well, I really want this and I really want this. And I look at him, I'm like, you don't understand, I think, how blessed your life has been. You did not have to struggle. You haven't ever worn hand-me-down clothes. The only reason that my boys have anything that has Nike or Aeropostale or Abercrombie and Finch or any of the other stuff is because they're all hand-me-down clothes from my brothers. And I'm thankful for that because I haven't had to buy my boys a wardrobe ever. because we get hand-me-down clothes from my brothers. And I tell my kids every single time, I'm like, you know, be very thankful that we get this, because you have to understand something. The only reason you're wearing things that have these name brands on them is because they were given to us. Because I don't step foot in those stores. I don't pay that kind of money for clothes that you're going to wear out or grow out of or simply not want in 6 months. I'm not doing that. I can't afford to do that as a single parent. And I want you to understand the value of what you're doing, because as far as I'm concerned, there is no difference between the $10 shirt you got at Walmart and the $90 shirt that they bought at Abercrombie & Fitch, other than the label, right? I refuse to kind of, I won't pay that money. I can't pay that kind of money. I get sticker shock. Even if I have the money, I can't make myself pay that much money for a freaking t-shirt. I can't buy a $100 pair of jeans. I'm not spending that kind of money on something that goes over my butt or that goes over my son's butt, especially my son's butts, right? Like, I am not that person. My brothers, however, are, because they've had that kind of money. And I'm thankful, you know. And one day my son was complaining. He goes, Mom, he goes, I really don't like the fact that all we have is hand-me-down clothes. And I kind of looked at him and I said, first of all, I said, you do understand that the hand-me-down clothes you have are nicer than pretty much anything that I would buy you, right? You can have hand-me-down clothes that started out as $90 shirts, $65 shirts, $130 tennis shoes. My mom sent two pair of Air Jordans to my house because my brother had outgrown them before the basketball season was over. Air Jordans. I said, you understand these shoes? They're practically brand new. They've barely been worn because your uncle grew out of them before he could really break them in. And the other pair, the season was over and he didn't need them anymore and he would outgrew them before the next season, right? So you do understand that had we paid for these shoes, these are $180, $150 tennis shoes. There's no way I would ever buy these for you. So be thankful that you have these, and they may be hand-me-downs, but it's not like they're cheap, right? So I had to sort of give my son a reality check, and he was like, oh. I was like, yeah, just because they're hand-me-downs doesn't mean they're not fabulous. These are amazing things that you're getting for free, right? Be happy. Be thankful. These are amazing. I would never actually pay the amount of money that was paid for these shoes that you are putting on your feet right now. So it's always been really important for me for my kids to have a really solid understanding of money, how it works, what's important, what's not important, because, you know, you're complaining about hand-me-downs simply because they are hand-me-downs, but they're really expensive hand-me-downs, right? You know, I said, so your alternative is to have $10 jeans that we buy at the Goodwill, because I refuse to pay $70 for a pair of jeans that you're going to trash. And they're just as good. They're perfectly good jeans. There's nothing wrong with them. There's no reason for you to not like them. So I've always given my kids that sort of understanding of money and the value of things. A pair of jeans, I'm not willing to spend $100 on that. A TV? Yeah, I'm willing to spend a few $100 on that because it's something that I'm going to get a lot of value out of. It's going to last me a really long time. I paid like $1,100 for the TV that we have on our wall, and it was the Christmas present to the family with my tax return, right? My income tax return bought us a nice flat screen TV. It bought us that TV 5 years ago. It's not worth that now, but it still works, and it's a perfectly good TV, and I will keep it until it runs itself into the ground, until it's broken and won't function, and then I'll look at buying another one, and it will have totally been worth the amount of money that I paid for it because it lasted me for so long. Teaching my kids the value of something is very important, and so I've never really understood the madness that's gone around certain types of toys. If, because it's a toy, and in 6 months it won't be as popular as it was when I paid $100 for it. And so the fact that my daughter understood that and has been really good about it, especially with these Hatchimals things, that makes me very proud. I'm very proud of her wanting that. So I've never really gotten the whole... I can't get behind the Hatchimal craze. But if you're a parent who has gone in and wanted to buy that for their... and or maybe has paid that kind of money for a Hatchimal. And I'm not saying if you paid the regular price for it and got it, by all means. It's really cool. Like I said, I wouldn't mind paying the $70 for it. It's a neat little... It's worth the $70 to me to watch the damn thing hatch, to be perfectly honest. I think it's kind of cool. So I wouldn't have a problem with that. I, however, am not willing to pay $160 or $200 or $300. I'm not willing to pay triple the price or even double the price to get one for my child. If you are a parent who's willing to do that, I would love to hear, you know, why you're okay with that, what makes it, like, how you justify that. And again, I'm not saying that as like a, I'm not, and it's not accusatory in any fashion of saying, well, how can you justify? I am interested in it because my mindset has always been different, and I, you know, kind of explain that. And maybe you are one of those parents who says, you know, I just want to be able to give, you know, I remember as a kid really wanting something and not being able to get it. And I remember how upset I was. So that's why I do it. And, you know, maybe that's it. And that's totally fine. I get it. But at the same time, do you help your children understand the concept of money in other ways, right? Do they have, you know, an allowance? Do they have a budget? Do you help them learn how to save, right? So those are things that I think are important. So while, you know, maybe this is where you're like me saying, hey, I did spend this kind of money on a toy for you. I need you to understand because it was really important to you. But because I did that, then this is the other consequence. Maybe I don't have as much to spend on the other stuff. Maybe this is your one big present, right? Or whatever. Or as a single mom or a single parent, are you facing the, I have to tell my child I can't get that for them, or Santa can't get that for them because, you know, it's just not feasible. It's not realistic. And how do you handle that? How do you deal with that? Because some kids, like my daughter, are old enough to understand it, and other kids are younger and they don't. And it is devastating. And that's really hard as a parent. And I totally get that too. You know, maybe you go in all in and buy that Hatchimal for your kid because you know that it's that one thing that they really want, and that's, it's that important to you. And you know that your child will be very upset if they don't get it. Or are you a parent who has raised your children to not place as much value on Christmas presents and how much they get and what they get? Are you a family who, you know, I know that there's some families out there who they only do one present. One. You get one present. Period. And that's their norm. Right? And the rest of the time or money or energy is spent donating to the homeless or other kids who have nothing. I know one family who they have like a four, I can't remember what it is, but it's like something they can read, something they can wear, something they really want, and something that's practical. And those are their presents. Four. Right? That's it. And nothing else. And that's their Christmas. Right? And that makes sense to me too. It's not what we do, but that's, it makes sense to me. I can totally understand why you would do that. And I don't condemn it. And then I've seen other parents who their Christmas is their one time. It's their one time they get to spoil their kids, and they save all year for it. Or they get a loan from the H&R Block thing, where you can get an advance on your income tax return, and they use that, and that's the one time they get to spoil their kids, because all year long their kids have gone without. So Christmas is the year, the time of year that they get to really spoil their kids. And I totally get that too. Right? I totally understand that too. So again, I'm not condemning anyone for spending that kind of money on a toy. I just personally have never understood it. And I've never understood that craze of, you know, I'm the person who's like, I'm not willing to get beat up for a toy. I'm not willing to stand in line for 8 hours for a toy. I'm not, you know what, if it's not available, if I can't get it online, I can't find it at the store, then I just tell my kid, hey, look, I couldn't find it for you. And once the craziness goes down and it comes back in stock, we'll get it. Right? It's an IOU on when it comes back around. And I've done that before too. So I've really just never wanted my kids to think that just because something became so crazy popular that it was worth spending that kind of money on. when you could maybe wait and get it cheaper later, or maybe it's not worth that. Like, what is the long-term value of what you're going to pay that kind of insane money for and really justify that purchase? You know, and I do that all the time. I look at, you know, I'm not a huge shoe person, but I'm still a person who goes, oh, I love those boots. Those are so cute. But they're $80. And how often am I really going to wear those? When am I going to really wear those shoes? I may wear them once or twice. Is it worth the $80? And sometimes it is. And sometimes it's not. I'm not going to lie and say I haven't ever done it. I have. Sometimes I feel like, yep, those shiny special shoes, those are, yep, I love them. And sometimes they're not. And I could talk myself out of it. So I would love to hear from you guys. Tell me what your thoughts are on this. Please go to thesinglemomblog.com. If you're listening to this somewhere else, please go to thesinglemomblog.com. Put in the comments, you know, what your thoughts are on you know, Hatchimals or the craze of, you know, are you a parent who is willing to pay that kind of money and why? Or are you more like me and you're like, no, I'm not spending that kind of money on a toy that's my kid's gonna be uninterested in once it hatches, right? It's not worth that kind of money to me. Or, you know, do you remember the Cabbage Patch craze? Do you remember the Tickle Me Elmo? Are you somebody who survived through that or even experienced that? I would love to hear from you on that. So if you're not listening to this on the blog at thesinglemomblog.com, please do go there. I would love to hear your comments and feedback. So I hope you found this helpful. I wish you the best of luck in all of your Christmas shopping ventures if you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever, Festivus for the rest of us. And I will hopefully do another podcast here soon before the holidays. But if I don't talk to you then or you don't hear me before then, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Festivus, whatever you may happen to celebrate. I hope you have it and it's wonderful. And you get to spend time with friends and family, and it's fabulous. So take care, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks for joining me today for the Single Mom Success Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all our social media platforms, and if you haven't subscribed to our newsletter yet, head on over to thesinglemomblog.com to make sure you never miss out on our most recent posts and podcasts. Thanks again, and never forget, you rock.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.